So we're looking at the Rav's Yahrzeit Shir on Kriyat Shema, and page Chav Zayin here, number Gimel. We still have some to fill in, but we'll come back to that later, Mitzvah Hashem. G'dole Olam Harishonim Zal Nechleku Bedin Kavonas Hakori Eshma. So in order to appreciate the Rav's presentation here, let's go back to a one-line sugya in Brachos, but a very profound sugya. The Mishnah says at the beginning of the second parak of Brachos that if a person was reading the Torah and he was reading the parasha of Kriyat Shema, the time for Kriyat Shema came, would he be yotze by reading Kriyat Shema within the Torah? And the Mishnah says, under one condition, he'd be yotze. Im kivein libo yotze. Now, as soon as we see the concept of kavana, we're reminded of the principle of mitzvos trichos kavana, which is exactly what the Gemara points out. Shema mina, we see from this Mishnah, mitzvos trichos kavana, from the fact the Mishnah made it conditional on kavana salev, otherwise he's not yotze. It means mitzvos trichos kavana. Rashi points out that this is against Rava, because Rav is of the opinion in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Tokel Shir Yotza, that if you blow on Rosh Hashanah for musical purposes, you don't have kavanah for the mitzvah, you yotze. And here, the Mishnah says only if you had kavanah, you yotze. So the Gemara now is going to try to defend the man the Yomer holds mitzvos, ain't trichos kavanah. So the Gemara says, my im kivan libo likros. I'm sorry, my im kivein libo. What does the Mishnah mean when it says im kivein libo? It's not referring to the universal halacha of mitzvah srichas kavana, but rather im kivein libo likros. He asked the Mishnah having to read it, to enunciate it. What does that mean? Likros hakakari. What do you mean? The Mishnah says hayakari. So obviously he is reading it. So the Gemara answers, but kore lahagia. He's reading it in order to fix it up. Rashi says, "Lagia im sefer, lagia sa sefer im yeshbo taus, dafil lekriyasa nami lo mechave." In other words, the Gemara is offering here between the Havmin and the Maskona two different interpretations of kiven libo. One kiven libo means kavana l'shem mitzvah, the kavana that's required if you hold mitzvah is kavana in all mitzvahs, it's required here in Kriyat Shema. The other interpretation of kiven libo is that he has to make sure, he has to be 100% certain that he read the words. Why would you think he's not reading the words? The Mishnah describes someone who's reading the Torah, and the Gemara answers because he might not be reading the words properly. Since he's reading the Sefer Torah in order to fix the Sefer, to see, Rashi says, Miesh Potos, therefore, maybe he's not even having Kavana to read it properly. For example, we have what's called Chaseros and Yeseros, right? You have words in the Torah that are written Chaser or Yeser. So how do we know that he's reading it properly? He's trying to fix his Sefer Torah. Unless we know that he's reading it properly, then he's not Yotze. That's what Tosis points out here, Kikori, like the Kori Lagia. Near Bakori Lagia, She'eno Kori Atevos Kil Chosam. If he's reading it to fix, he doesn't read them properly. Ukinukudasam, and with their proper vowels. Elokik Sivasam Kori. So he's reading it as it's written. Kide Lahavin Bechaseros Ubiyaseros. He wants to make sure that all the Chaseros and Yaseros there. So an expert sofer, who's well-trained and well-oiled, well-experienced, he will know where there are chaseros and yeseros in the Torah, so he'll read it in that way. But that's not how you yotze the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. You have to read it properly. Like, for example, litotofos in tefillin is written differently than it's pronounced. Mezuzos is written differently. So what does imkiven libo mean? Kiven likros kidin kinikudasam ukil chasam. So that's what the Rav presents here. We'll get back to the Rav now. He says, Yesh Omrim. He presents the first view. And this apparently is the view of Rashi and Tosas. that the requirement of Kavanah and Kriyat Shema, and we make no difference here, no differentiation between the first pasuk and the rest of Kriyat Shema, is a reflection of the universal rule of Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah. If you hold Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah, you have to have Kavanah. If you hold Mitzvah Sein Srichas Kavanah, you don't have to have Kavanah. And therefore it comes out, according to Rashi and Tosfos, and we'll soon see that that's also the Ramban Shita, that if we paskin like Rava in Tokel Shir Yotza, namely Mitzvahs Ein Srichas Kavanah, then in Kriyat Shema you don't need Kavanah. And therefore even in the first pasuk you wouldn't need Kavanah. And if you take a look at footnote number 50, quoting the Ramban in the Milchames in Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban says, "Ulafia nira yesh raya de mitzvah tzrichas kavanah min kamal gabi kriyach from pasuk rishon tzricha kavanah. V'ilu leman de yom mitzvah sein tzrichas kavanah afilu pasuk rishon nami lo boy kavanah." It means that according to the Ramban, if mitzvah sein tzrichas kavanah, you don't need any kavanah at all in kriyach ma. Not even in the first pasuk. The Ramban wants to prove that mitzvah tzrichas kavanah from the fact that we paskin that at least in the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, you need kavanah. That's the sheet of Reb Meir. Uman de mefarish trei gavni bekavanah. The Ramban implies that there's another approach, which we'll soon see, that there are two different categories of kavanah. Lo tzayir lefum gemara v'lo mechuvar. This does not seem to be declared, or it doesn't reflect what we see in the Talmud, and therefore it's not correct. The Rashba also quotes such an opinion, like the Ramban, and he says, "Halo kiven yotzad." In Kriyat Shema, you don't need even in the first pasuk kavana. You yotze without kavana. Why? Dokaim alone we pass in the mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana. Lechatchila though, a person should have kavana, but the evidence is yotze without kavana. We'll soon see that the Rashba changed his mind. He jumped ship, and eventually he agrees with the second opinion, which the Rav is going to present. But the first opinion is clearly spelled out by the Ramban. Ukanere, the Rav says at the end of this footnote that Rashi and Tosfos also agree to that. And how do we know this? Because Rashi and Tosfos are saying that if the old mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavanah, the only reason the Mishnah stipulates this condition of kiven levi yotza is because kari lagia means he's not reading it properly. He needs kavanah to read it properly. Any questions so far? Crystal clear? Svarazu, the Rav says that this approach, that mitzvah srichas kavanah universally applies to Kriyat Shema, and if mitzvah sein srichas kavanah in general, you don't need kavanah in Kriyat Shema specifically, is an offshoot, is reflected by the simple, straightforward reading of the Gemara in Brachos. However, there's a group of Rishonim that establish a different halacha. And that is that kavanah in Kriyat Shema is a separate din. It's not the din of mitzvah srichas kavanah universally. And the kavanah here has to be the kavanah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Meaning that even if I hold in general, let's say Toka L'Shir Yotza, that means mitzvahs ain't srichas kavanah, but everybody agrees that with regard to Kriyat Shema, you need kavanah. We have to understand why. But first, let's define what kavanah is. Kavanah means Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. So we're not talking about kavanah lotzeis, kavanah l'shem mitzvah, but rather kavanas tochen ha'inyan, meaning the substance of what is being read, which is the essence of which is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim.
Then why would the Gemara specify that? The Gemara introduces the concept in the framework of the debate of mitzvah srichas kavanah, implying that it really is connected.
Correct. In the Gemara itself, it's a little bit more complicated. But we'll have to come back to your question a little bit later, Chaim, when we see how the Rambam understood Kori Lagia, and then I think, which is the next paragraph, and then, God willing, we'll be able to come back and answer your question. But you're right. It's going to be a stretch. And that's why the Rav pointed out that if you saw this line, I just translated, I didn't read it, that Pashtus Lashon HaSugya is mashma like those Rishonim. But the second group of Rishonim said that the halacha of kavana with regard to Kriyat Shema is not dependent upon the halacha of kavana in other mitzvahs. And it's fundamentally different. And the Rav defines the difference. He says that in all other mitzvahs, the concept of kavana relates to the kiyum mitzvah. It relates to the fact that I want to fulfill with this action my obligation and fulfill the mitzvah. Here, however, in Kriyat Shema, going to the second group of Rishonim, and we'll soon see that that's the Rashba's conclusion, that's also the Rambam Shita, the halach of Kavana is a condition in the act of the mitzvah itself. You have to have Kavana for what he calls the Maisa Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, or Gufa Shel Kriyat Shema. What is the Maisa Mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? What is Gufa Shel Kriyat Shema? It's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. That's the Atzmius, that's the essence of Kriyat Shema. If you're missing that Kavana, then you haven't engaged, you haven't implemented a Maisa Mitzvah. And therefore you don't have a Chalos, you don't have an achievement of Kriyat Shema, which is identical with Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And here, in footnote 52, the Rav quotes the Rashba. The Efshali Lomar Ode, and furthermore I could suggest, after having presented the first opinion, as we saw earlier, the Pasuk Rishon Tzarech Kavana Vafilu B'dievet. You require Kavana in the first Pasuk, and without it, you're not Yotze, it's indispensable. But Ein HaDavar Zeh Tolui B'idach D'mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana. This is not dependent upon the requirement that applies to other mitzvahs of kavana. The hasam there, with regard to other mitzvahs, the kavana latzes hadvar mamurim. What kind of kavana are we dealing with? Latzes. Aval kan, says the Rashi, with regard to Kriyat Shema, tzorech kavanas ha'inyon. We're not talking about kavana latzes, but kavanas hatochen. The substance of Kriyat Shema, that's what you have to intend to fulfill. What does that mean? Klomar, says the Rashba, shlo yaharer bidvarim acherim, he shouldn't be distracted thinking about who knows what. Kidei, I would translate the word kidei as rather, he should be focused, sheikabel olav malchus shamayim. He should be focused totally on accepting the divine rule. Behaskomas halev, with a full heart. Aval elu shehein kabbalas malchus. O sidur shvachim. Eino bedin shei levavo pona ledvar machem. This case of Kriyat Shema, and he also speaks about other cases of Shevach, the fact that you're thinking about other things completely undermines your mitzvah. And then the Rashba accepts this approach. The Shita Mekubetzus likewise reflects this approach. And he separates the Kavana in Kriyat Shema from the Kavana in other mitzvahs. He says that the Kavana in Kriyat Shema is unique. Rabbeinu Yonah is a third Rishon that goes on this highway, on this path. He writes, V'od she'eino mechavein latzeis bo yidei chov min haTorah mitzvah tzrichas kavana. He says, we're not talking about the Kavana of latzeis, which is the Kavana required in all mitzvahs, if you hold mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Afilu below zos hakavana, even if you don't require that kavana, because mitzvahs ain't tzrichas kavana, nevertheless, says Rabbeinu Yonah, tzorech kavanas halev, kedei lekabel olav ol malchus shamayim b'mora uve'ema. So these three Rishonim, the Rashba and his Maskana, together with the Shita Mekubetzus and Rabbeinu Yonah, they all agree that the normal halach of kavana is not what we're dealing with here. There's one kavana that everybody agrees is absolutely required, it's indispensable, it reflects on the essence of the mitzvah of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim of Kriyat Shema. And without that kavana, you don't have anything at all. And now, the Rav is going to try to explain that the Rambam agrees with that second group of Rishonim. How does he know that? So on the third line of this paragraph, he quotes the Rambam. Let's read the Rambam carefully, and this will perhaps give us a clue as to how the Rambam understood Korei Lahagia. HaKorei Eshma, v'lo kiven libo b'pasuk rishon shushma Yisrael lo yata yidei chovasa v'ashar the rest of Kriyat Shema im lo kiven libo yata afilu ayikore batora kedarko omagia es aparshios ha'elu b'yonas kriya yata v'hu shekiven libo b'pasuk rishon. Notice that the Rambam interprets Kori Lagia differently than Rashi and Tosfos. They understood that Kori Lagia, since he's fixing his Sefer, he's not reading it properly. Perhaps he's not even intending to read it at all. And according to those interpretations, Kori Lagia is unacceptable, not only in the first Pasuk, but in all the Pasukim, because he doesn't read it at all. I mean, or he doesn't read it properly. Therefore, the only difference between the first pasuk and the rest of the kriya, with regard to Kori Lagia, would have to be in the Kavanas Halev, not in a problem of kriya shalokik sava, because that applies equally to all the parshas. In other words, all three parshas and every pasuk therein are uniform and equal with regard to what we call misasik. Misasik meaning you don't have kavana for the maisa, you're not interested in kriya, and you don't read it properly. The difference between the first pasuk and the other pasukim only kicks in with regard to kavana in a case of somebody who's reading it properly. So again, uniformly throughout the entire Kriyat Shema, we have to read properly. That's called kriya shalola gia, but kiven libo likros, meaning he has to have in mind for a bona fide kriya. However, wherein lies the difference between the first pasuk and the rest of Kriyat Shema? That's with regard to the Halach of Kavana, meaning Kavana universally of Latzeis Yidei Chova. However, the Rambam is arguing, he's rejecting both Rashi and Tosfos. He interprets the sugya apparently in a different way, and that's what we want to get to. Says the Rambam, Kriya Lagia is not a misasik, he's not a Kriya Shalokik Sova, but rather he's a Kriya, he's a Kore, without Kavana. He doesn't have Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. And therefore, the Rambam paskins Halach Lemaisa that Kore Lagia is not Yotzi the Mitzvah in the first Pasuk, meaning the first Pasuk requires Kavanas Halev. And therefore the Psul, says the Rambam, of Kore Lagia applies to the first Pasuk, not to the rest of the Parashias. And therefore, Lemaskona, even if Mitzvahs Einam Tzrichas Kavana, nevertheless, Kore Lagia, he's not Yotze Yidei Chovaso. And why is that so? Because in Kriyat Shema there's a separate halach of Kavana, not the universal halach of Kavana. It's a special unique halacha of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, which doesn't depend upon Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah, and as applies universally to other mitzvahs. With regard to this Kavana of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, there's a machlokas tanoim. How far within Kriyat Shema do you have to have Kavana? The Rambam passing like Rabbi Meir, based on Achra of Rava, that only on the first Pasuk you have to have Kavana, which means that Kori Lagia is Pasul in the first Pasuk. Why? Because he doesn't have Kavana for Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That does not apply to the rest of the Kriya of Kriyat Shema. There, it doesn't bother us if he's Kore Lagia. So let's go back and read the Rambam one more time. The Rambam says, "Hakori Yishma v'lo kiven libo b'pasuk rishon shehu Shma Yisrael lo yotzi de chovasa v'ashar im lo kiven libo yotza afilu ayakore batora kedarko o magia es aparshios ha'elu bonas kriya yotza." Meaning, according to the Rambam, he has no Kavana l'shem mitzvah, and not only that, he doesn't even have kavana for kabbalas ol malchus shamayim. He's simply reading the Torah kedarko, or he's fixing the parashias. Again, the Rambam doesn't see in this a problem of misasek. There's nothing different about his kriya or your kriya. You may have kavana and I don't, but my kriya is the same as yours. The words sound the same; they're enunciated the same way. The only difference here, then, according to the Rambam, is with regard to the first Pasuk. With regard to the first Pasuk, the Rambam paskening like Reb Meir requires Kavana. And therefore, if he's Kori Lagia Kedarko, or Magia Saparashis Eilu, or in this case, he's being Magia the first Pasuk, Lo Yatza, because the first Pasuk requires Kavona.
Is there a difference in the Rambam, the fact that he says, with regards to the first Pasuk, Lo Yatza Yidei Chovato, as opposed to the other ones, he says, only the Mila, only the word Yatza, Lo Yatza, or Yatza?
So again, in the first part of the Rambam, he says, Lo Yatza Yidei Chovato, right? Yeah. And then he says, "Vasharim lo kiven libo yatsa."
Only yatsa.
So you're wondering if I read you correctly, why didn't the Rambam, with regard to the rest of Kriyat Shema, add the words "kidecho vaso"? Good. And what's your answer to that question?
There is some difference between the first pasuk or some chovata gavra and shema with the first pasuk versus the second and third paragraphs, possibly.
Well, that for sure. The Rambam holds Vasharim lo kiven libo yotza. But why the Rambam didn't add the words Yidei Chovaso, I'm not convinced one way or the other. I hear you, Diuk. I'm just not sure what that means. Now let's look on page Chavtes, the main paragraph. Baram, the Rav is bothered by the Shitas of Rambam, and he says the following. Even if I grant you that there's a halachic requirement, a unique requirement in Kriyat Shema of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim that sets up a kavana that's absolutely indispensable, meaning as far as other mitzvahs is concerned, you don't need kavana, but in Kriyat Shema you need kavana because of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Nevertheless, why should this mitzvah be any better off than any other mitzvah? Every other mitzvah, according to the Ma'an Yomar, Mitzvah Srichas Kavana requires Kavana Lotzes. Again, we're not sure what the Rambam's opinion is as far as other mitzvahs. There are all sorts of complications. Maybe we'll get to that either tonight or a different night. But be that as it may, according to the Ma'an Yomar, Mitzvah Srichas Kavana, you need Kavana. The Rambam seems to assume that you only need Kavana for Kabbalah's all mitzvahs. That doesn't make much sense. We really should require a double kavana, a dual kavana, in order to be yotzei the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Number one, we have this unique requirement of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That kavana is absolutely required. And secondly, we have the universal principle of mitzvah srichas kavana, meaning kavana lotzeis yidei chovaso. The distinction that we're making between the first pasuk and the rest of Kriyat Shema was said, as we pointed out before, with regard to relationship to Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. That means that with regard to Kavanah L'Shem Mitzvah, there should be no difference between the first Pasuk and all the other Pesukim. And yet, the Rambam says that Kore Lagia, in all of Kriyat Shema minus the first Pasuk, with the exception of the first Pasuk, is Yatza. What happened to Mitzvah Srichas Kavanah? In other words, I understand very well, and it's justifiable that Kriyat Shema could be more chamor than all the other mitzvahs of the Torah and require a unique kavana. But that's on top of standing on the piggyback of all the other mitzvahs that require kavana lotzeis. But if the Rambam is differentiating between the first pasuk and all the other psukim of Kriyat Shema, all the other parashis, meaning that in Kriyat Shema, with regard to the first pasuk, we must have kavana. With regard to the rest of the parashis, the Rambam says we don't have to have kavana. What about the halacha of mitzvah srichas kavana? The Rambam should have somehow specified that a person who's reading Kriyat Shema, number one, has to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim in the first pasuk, and number two, with regard to the rest of the perek and all the other parashiyos, he has to have Kavana Lotzeis Yidei Chovaso, and equate Kriyat Shema, therefore, with all other mitzvahs. The Rambam, not only didn't he spell this out, but it's almost explicitly against that, because the Rambam says that Kori Lagia, which means he doesn't have any interest in being Yotzei his mitzvah. He's fixing up his Sefer Torah. The Rambam says that he's Yotzei as long as he had Kavona in the first pasuk, meaning Kavona is Kavona Sol Malchus Shemayim. What happened to the Halach of Kavona L'Shem Mitzvah? Where did that get lost in the Rambam? Now, with regard to the Rambam Shita about Mitzvah Srichas Kavona, there's a long footnote here, number 56. And frankly, it's an absolutely fascinating footnote. But even more than that is the Rav's discussion about Kavana in Sukkah, which is also here in the footnote, not in this footnote 56, but in the next footnote 59, in that big footnote. In both of the cases, he relates a discussion that he had with his father, with Rav Moshe. With regard to the Rambam Shita, Rav Moshe had a big chiddush. What is the Rambam's opinion on the very thorny, controversial issue of mitzvah sriches kavon or ain't sriches kavon? On the one hand, the Rambam says if they force you to eat matzah, you're yotza. But on the other hand, in Shofar, the Rambam says you need kavonas shomea umashmir. In Hilchos Megillah, the Rambam says hakori lagia eina yotzi dechovasa. So the Ran in Rosh Hashanah understands that according to the Ran, mitzvah tzriches kavana. The only exception to the rule is matzah, because achila is different. That also apparently is the opinion of the Ramban. However, Reb Chaim had a different view of the Rambam. He understood that the Rambam Shita was like the Yesh Sovrim in the Baal Amor, that the exception to the rule is shofar. That in shofar you need kavona shomea umashmia as a unique halach of shomea kohen, meaning your maisa cannot relate to me just by hearing it unless you have me in mind and I have you in mind. So the kavona here that's required both on the mashmia and the shomea is a kavona to link up, to connect between Mr. A and Mr. B, meaning between one gavra and another gavra. However, as a universal principle, the Ram would hold mitzvos enam tzrichas kavona, which is the paradigm of which is matzah. The Baal Amor himself rejected this opinion, but nevertheless, perhaps the Rambam accepted this opinion. Because if you look carefully in the Lashon HaRambam in Hilchos Shofar in Perek Beis, the Rambam writes, Niskaven shomea lates yidei chovoso, velo niskaven atokea lahotzio, o she niskaven atokea lotzio, velo niskaven shomea lates yidei chovoso lo yotza. The Rambam would seem to indicate that this whole discussion here about kavona in the midst of shofar is generated by this scenario, this particular scenario of a tokea and a shomea. Rashi writes in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Ichavein v'toka li. If I remember correctly, Rav Zeira said to his shamas, have kavona be tokea for me, lo tzieni yedei chovasi, which means that we're talking about kavona lotzeis. The Baal Amor accepts Rashi that Kavona Shomea Mashmia is not a new halacha, it's not a separate halacha, but rather it's the old halacha of Mitzvah Srichas Kavona. But one could certainly argue that the halacha of Kavona Shomea Umashmia was formulated as a separate halacha in the halachas of Shomea Ka'on, as we said before, and therefore you need a Kavona Lahotzias HaShomea Yidei Chovosa. However, a kavana to be yotze, as a general rule, that's not necessarily required. So the entire sugya in Rosh Hashanah regarding the sugya of Rabbi Zeira, who says, Ichavim v'tokali, is taken up by this long footnote in the Yartzeit Shia, number 56. I think we covered that part of the footnote that's most relevant to us. And maybe believe neder, you know, I don't want to take a neder here, but Od Chazon LaMoed, we'll try to find a different opportunity to discuss this footnote in greater depth. On the top of page Lamed, which is where we're holding, the Rambam in Perek Beis Milchus Megillah Loch Eis says, HaKorias HaMegiyah B'lo Kavana Lo Yotza. Now here, the Rambam seems to be assuming that Kriyas HaMegillah requires Kavana. And then when we come back now to Kriyat Shema, the Rambam says you only need Kavana for the first Pasuk, then the question is glaring. It jumps out at us. How is it that all of Kriyat Shema, with the exception of the first Pasuk, can be recited without Kavana and Yiyotze? In the case of Megillah, is Korei below Kavana lo Yotze? How are we meant to understand this? Now, the Rav at this point, refers back to what he had said earlier in the Yahrzeit Shia, that all the parashiyos of Kriyat Shema integrate to form one entity and one fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. That's the essence of Kriyat Shema. The machlokes that we find in the Mishnah about how far you have to have kavana is relevant only to the kavana b'mitzius, meaning to the physical, so to speak, reality of kavana in your mind, that conscious state. But as far as the chalushem kavana as a halachic entity, that kavana relates to the entire heft of Kriyat Shema. Because since the kiyum of mitzvahs Kriyat Shema, in its very essence, is accepting upon oneself the yoke of heaven, therefore, the halach of mitzvahs Shrichas Kavana doesn't apply here at all. And here at this point, the Rav says a major, major chiddush. And we're going to reformulate the language of the Rav, hopefully without doing any damage to the content of what the Rav is saying. Yesh lachkar. How do we understand mitzvahs Shrichas Kavana? And there are two roads. One road takes us down the action, and the other takes us down the kiyum mitzvah. Where is kavana, according to that Mandi Omar, a requirement? Is it a condition in the maisa mitzvah, which means, and listen carefully, this is a very important point, that a maisa mitzvah, which is not performed for the purpose of fulfilling one's obligation, is not a maisa mitzvah at all. In other words, a secular mundane act has to be upgraded and elevated to the status of a maisa mitzvah. What vehicle, what agent could inject into the mitzvah that power, that energy force to be considered a maisa mitzvah?
Kavana.
That's mitzvah srichas kavana. The other possibility is no. That mitzvah srichas kavana is not a kavana to set up the maisa mitzvah, without which there is no maisa mitzvah and he didn't do anything, but rather kavana is a requirement in the kiyum mitzvah. The maisa mitzvah stands on its own. That's certainly true if you hold mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. But even if I hold mitzvahs srichas kavana, the maisa mitzvah is meaningful without kavana as a maisa mitzvah, and that's how it's defined. The physical act, even without the kavana, without the intention for the mitzvah, is a bona fide, genuine maisa mitzvah. But mitzvah srichas kavana means you cannot be yotzei the mitzvah. The kiyum mitzvah requires kavana. And the Rav suggests the first approach is the correct one, namely, that kavana, if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, is a requirement and a precondition in the maisa mitzvah. Without it, without kavana, your act is like a misasik. What's misasik? Misasik means I was doing A and B happened. I was totally unaware of B, and therefore it's not considered my mice at all. And in footnote number 58, the Rav points out that Reb Chaim argued with Rabbi Kiveger about the nature of misasik. Reb Kiveger thought that misasik is a ptur karbon, meaning you have a mice avera, but you're potter from karbon. The Torah alleviated you from bringing the responsibility of bringing the carbon. Reb Chaim was convinced that misasik is not just a ptur carbon, it's not just a leniency as far as bringing the carbon, but it's mafkia, it undermines the very maisa avera. And it's not called a maisa avera alpidin. And the Rav in footnote 58 quotes his father, who of course comes to agree with whom? With his grandfather, with Reb Moshe's father of Chaim, that's no chiddush. But he comes up with a brand new proof that could really shed light on this machlokas between Reb Kiveger and Reb Chaim. Reb Moshe said a careful reading of the Rambam in Perek Aleph Mihilchos Isurei Bia Halacha Yud Beis, and we're now on page Lamed Aleph in the footnote on the bottom, the first line in the footnote. The Rambam says, Haba al erva min arayos, kimis asik. Notice, he's not aware that this woman is an erva. af al pi she'ein kavanos lekach chayev. This is the famous principle of misaseik b'chalovim v'arayos chayev she'keimene. But the Rambam adds a few words here. He says v'chein b'chayve lavin u'bishnios. So the Ravid asks immediately the question, what does that mean, v'chein b'chayve lavin u'bishnios? Lo yadati, I don't understand what the Rambam is bringing in here, says the Ravid. Karbon ain't kan, there's no karbon if you violate chayve lavin, and certainly not shnios l'arayos. The entire halacha of misasek b'arayos chayev means you chayve karbon for a chiv karets. Right? A maisa aveira with an erva that would engender a chiyuv kares if it was done b'mezid. Excuse me. Generates a chiyuv karbon if it's done b'shogeg. But what shaychus does misasek have with chayve lavim, which neos? And this question bothered the minds of the mefarshim to the extent to which that some, for example, the Magen Mishnah says that there's a toe sofer in the Ram. You have to erase words. The Kesef Mishnah says that the word chayav here means something else entirely. What the Rama means, that if you are boel a woman who's chayve lavim or shnios, you're chayav, the word chayav means not that you're chayav a karbon, but rather it's a maisa vera. It's a cheftza shel isur. You violated the law. Now, if the Rambam holds that in the case of arayos, there's an exception to the rule, and your act, because you had hanoah from it, is considered a maisa vera, even though you're misasek, and that the Rambam sets up as a unique halacha in arayos, then the implication is that in the flip side, in other averos, where you don't have any hanoah, any physical pleasure from the avera, then misasek would apparently be mafkia the maisa avera. What's unique about misasek in a maisa erva is that you have an avera. And why do you have an avera? Because you're nene. Apparently, in shar isurei Torah, misasek is not mafkia. I'm sorry. Misasek is mafkia the maisa avera. There's no avera at all. The Rambam feels compelled to tell you that in arayos, even though, despite the fact that you're misasek, there is a maisa avera, meaning implying that elsewhere in other isurim, where you don't have the svar of shekein nene, there is no maisa avera, and therefore we can rest our case that according to the Rambam, at least, misasek is mafkia the very maisa avera. The Rav's language is slightly different than mine. He says mufka in misasek. He says mufka mi cheftza shel isur. Okay, cheftza shel isur, I think, is the same as a maisa avera. The Rav would apply this to misasek in mitzvahs and say that if you don't have any kavanah for the mitzvah, then it's not a maisa mitzvah at all. How does the Rav know that kavanah, if you hold mitzvah srichas kavanah, is a condition in the maisa mitzvah? So again, you could say it's the flip side of averos. Just like misasek in averos is mafkia the maisa avera, so too misasek b'mitzvahs is also mafkia the maisa mitzvah. But keep in mind, we're going a step further. We're not talking about misasek. We're not talking about someone who's totally unaware of the action he's doing. We're talking about someone who didn't have kavana lotzes. Would that be mafkia the maisa mitzvah? The Rav says that's exactly what happens. And in order to prove this point, the Rav quotes two different sugyas in Shas. Now, let's leave these two sugyas on the side for just one moment, because they'll really, in a sense, take us, how shall I say, across Shas. And let's focus for a moment on the Rav on page Lamed Beis. Would you want to turn to page Lamed Beis? Okay. So let's just see if we can take a look at the punchline here on page Lamed Beis. And again, we're going to have to come back to the Rav's proofs, the two proofs that he has on Lamed Aleph. The Rav wants to suggest that there are two categories of mitzvahs. there's your classical mitzvah, where the ma'isa mitzvah has to be set up by kavana, and without kavana, if your mitzvah has kavana, there is no ma'isa mitzvah. And then there is a unique, very limited scope or circle of mitzvahs, the essence of which is kavana. For example, emuna. I mean, one could hardly say that without believing in God that he fulfills the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, or Ava, or Yira, and all these mitzvahs that require some sort of a state of being, an emotional state, an intellectual state. So the Rav wants to say that with regard to these mitzvahs, you don't need kavana lotzeis. Interesting. Did you ever think about this? You're contemplating God, and at that moment you're fulfilling a mitzvah min haTorah. If you're loving God, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of I love God. If you're believing in God, you're fulfilling the mitzvah of emunah nashem. Did you ever think for a second, well, hineni muchana mezuman, I have kavana to be yotze the mitzvah of avas Hashem, of yiras Hashem, of emunah b'Hashem. So if you hold mitzvah srichas kavana, you've let thousands of opportunities fall through your fingers because you didn't have kavana lotzeis. So the Rav says that you don't need kavana lotzeis. Even if you hold, in general, with regard to all mitzvahs, mitzvah srichas kavana, these mitzvahs don't require kavana lotzeis. And why is that? Because kavana in mitzvahs is necessary to set up the ma'isa as a ma'isa mitzvah. It doesn't have the status of a ma'isa mitzvah without kavana. But here, in these mitzvahs, the essence of which is the intellectual state or the emotional state of emuna or ava, the ma'isa mitzvah is self-generated. It's spontaneously generated. You don't need some external kavana, I'm doing this l'shem mitzvah, in order to generate a ma'isa mitzvah. Because the essence of the mitzvah is the very kavana that you have to fulfill the mitzvah. Namely, the belief in God, the love of God, the fear of God. Says the Rav, the same logic applies to Kriyat Shema. What do we have in Kriyat Shema? We have Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. So the Rav insists that once we have Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, whether it's in the first pasuk according to Reb Meir, in the first two pasukim according to Rabbi Lez, according to all various Tanoim, but you have the Kavana of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, that itself generates the Ma'isa Mitzvah. And therefore, the Kiyuma Mitzvah doesn't require Kavana. The kavanas kiyuma mitzvah, meaning l'shem mitzvah, is not required because I already have a ma'isa mitzvah. The whole reason I require kavana l'shem mitzvah, as we said before, is to set up the ma'isa mitzvah. But here, where I set up the ma'isa mitzvah spontaneously, in and of itself, there's a significance to the ma'isa, even without my kavana lotzeis, but simply because of the very essence of the mitzvah, which is kavana, in this case, the kriyat shema, the kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, that itself generates the ma'isa mitzvah. And therefore, there's no need for kavana lotzeis in order to fulfill this mitzvah. Okay, then, so we'll stop here. And in Mirtz Hashem, next time, we'll fill in a few of the missing blanks. We'll be able to review some of what we did for the benefit of those who couldn't be here tonight.